Thank you, team, for leading us this morning in worship. One of the greatest. My name's Keith, by the way. I'm a pastor here at the church. Thanks for being here. One of the greatest blessings that we could ever have in life is to know the profound love of the God who made us. What a blessing to sing about his love for us, to have our eyes opened and our hearts awakened to the fact that we are loved by the God who made us. It changes everything. It's a blessing to know his profound love. And the story of the gospel is one where God brings this great blessing to us in the person of Jesus Christ, so that we might know the fullness of life. It's why we gather every week. But what we also know from the scriptures is that God doesn't simply bless a people for their own benefit. He blesses people so that they might share the blessing of God with others. That we are blessed to be a blessing. And as a church, we want to join God in this work. He has entrusted this love for the blessing of the people around us, the people we work with, the people we go to school with, the people who we are neighbors with. God is on mission in our city, and he is inviting us to join him in that mission. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes knowing where to start and how to be part of that mission to our friends and our neighbors, to share the blessing of God's love with them, we sometimes don't know where to start, do we? We fumble our way, and sometimes we simply don't take action because we don't know what to do. Are you with me in that? Well, if you are, I want to invite you to participate in our next formation experience. We run throughout the year a number of formation experiences, which are kind of these shorter, kind of interactive times that help us follow Jesus better. And we have one coming up called Live on Mission. And it's 4 weeks that really quite practically help us share the blessing of God's love with other people. And I want to invite you to put that on your calendar. It's on the Thursdays in May, starting May 2nd, and every Thursday in May from 6:45 to 8:45 here at the church. It's a real practical way to step into the fullness of what God calls us to be as his church. And so let me call you to it. Clarence Jordan was a New Testament Greek scholar who lived in southern Georgia during the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s. This was a tumultuous time. Jordan was a well-educated, white, Christian man who was instrumental in founding the organization Habitat for Humanity. You certainly know of it. But Jordan, interestingly, isn't remembered in history for his multiple degrees or his philanthropy. Rather, he's known for the farm that he started. It's called Koinonia Farm. Koinonia is the Greek word for Christian fellowship. Koinonia Farm was this intentionally interracial community, that they would farm together in the midst of this region that was in turmoil with this racial division. And as you can imagine, that this farm, it faced opposition, it faced threats of many kinds, but through it all, together, led by Clarence Jordan, people persevered, black and white together, people of color and white together. But then, one evening, in 1954, the Ku Klux Klan arrived in the darkness of night, and they burned everything on the farm to the ground, except for Jordan's home. In the midst of the raid that night, Jordan recognized the voice of one of the men wearing a white hood. It was the local newspaper reporter, someone he had known in the past. And well, the next day, that same reporter showed up to the farm to write a story about the arson that happened the night before. And not knowing that Jordan recognized him from the night before, he arrived and he found Jordan planting seeds in a burned out field. And he said to Jordan, I heard the awful news about the tragedy last night, and I've come out to do a story on the closing of your farm. And Jordan just kept digging and planting without saying a word. The reporter continued, and he continued prodding Jordan for a comment on this massive failure of the Koinonia farm. And Jordan just kept digging and planting in silence. And finally, the reporter got heated, and he said, look, you've got two PhDs, and you've put 14 years into this farm, and now there's nothing left. Just how successful do you think you've been in all of this? And with that, Jordan stopped farming. He straightened himself out and said, you don't understand us Christians. What we are about is not success, but faithfulness. We're staying. Good day, sir. See, we've been working through a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is the kind of life that God grows in people as we follow Jesus. Galatians 5 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today we consider the fruit of faithfulness. And so I invite you to turn with me to a parable that Jesus tells. And it's in Matthew chapter 25. If you have a Pew Bible, it's on page 694, or you can type it in your device. Matthew 25, and I'm going to read verses 14 to 30. As we consider what this text has to teach us about the fruit of faithfulness that God wants to grow in us as we follow him. So Matthew 25, 14 to 30, hear the word of the Lord. Speaking about the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, sometimes we don't know what to do with this parable. So lead us. Give us ears to hear what you want us to hear. And Holy Spirit, fill us with the blessing so that we might share it with the world. Make us your faithful people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we dig in, right, I think there's a few things I need to say at the outset. This parable takes a bit of a twist at the end, doesn't it? We understand that the faithful servants are being applauded, that we get, but the way the landowner treats the unfaithful servant, it unsettles us, doesn't it? If it doesn't, it really should. And there is this line that says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. It sounds on some level like this parable is about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, but I want you to know that most certainly is not what this parable is about. That is not how the kingdom of God works. Rather, the parable, among other things, it tells us what faithfulness actually looks like in God's kingdom. And spoiler alert, when we get to the end, when Jesus says, whoever has will be given more, and whoever doesn't have, even what they have will be taken away from them, he doesn't mean money, but rather is speaking about the privilege of our kingdom responsibility. The responsibility that is granted to those who are faithful, they will be given more. But we'll get to that in due time this morning. The parable, it tells us three important things about faithfulness. It speaks about the foundation of our Christian faithfulness, about the fruit of faithfulness, and then the future of the faithful. So the foundation, the fruit, and the future. What preacher can resist an alliteration? First, let's consider the foundation of our Christian faithfulness. And I'll get to the text in just a moment, but hear this. Like all of the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness, it originates in God. God is faithful. We've been singing about it all morning. He is faithful. He's been faithful to us. And when we follow Jesus, God grows his faithfulness in us through the Holy Spirit. If you've ever eaten a piece of fruit, like a watermelon, maybe in the summertime. Have you ever eaten a watermelon with an inquisitive child? You know, and if you have eaten a watermelon with an inquisitive child, you know there is one question that they will always ask. It's like this universal truth about a five-year-old eating a watermelon, right? What's the question they ask? If I swallow this seed, am I going to grow a watermelon tree in my belly? And, you know, whenever I'm asked that question, I'm like, do watermelons grow on trees? I don't think they do. They probably are closer to the ground. Yeah, exactly. Let's go with that. So, but you know, we get it. It's this question that they ask, you know, if I eat this seed, is it going to grow in my belly? And while we know that's not quite what happens, I think it is a good image of how the fruit of the Spirit works in our lives. That God puts the seed of his character in us. And if we nurture those seeds, if we participate with the Holy Spirit to cultivate that character in ourselves, then the seed of God's character grows. It grows and it transforms us into a person who is more like Christ. And all over the Bible, we read that God is faithful. It's the seed of himself. He's faithful. He's faithful to keep his promises. He's faithful to show love and compassion to us. We sang a song all about it, that Lamentations verse that Michelle read. It's the text from which great is thy faithfulness is written. And actually, the author of that song was going through one of the darkest times in his life. He had been crippled with illness and then also crippled by the medical debts that amassed because he had to pay for his treatments. And it was in the midst of that that he sings or creates this great poem that becomes one of the greatest songs that we sing in the church about God's faithfulness. God is faithful to show his love and compassion to us. He's faithful to protect us from the evil one. He's faithful to forgive our sins. He's faithful to make us holy. He is faithful. The reason I'm standing here today is because God is faithful. The reason you're here this morning is because God is faithful. With every breath we breathe, it's because God is faithful. Without the author of life, there is no life. God is faithful. And he's been faithful to us even in our sin and our brokenness when we turn our back on him. God is the source of our Christian faithfulness. God is faithful, so as we follow Jesus, he grows that same faithfulness in us through his Holy Spirit. And I want to start here because sometimes we hear the word faithful and we think primarily in terms of our belief system, right? That faithful people are those who are, well, full of faith. That they're unwavering in their belief of who God is and what he's capable of doing. This idea that the faithful are those who have no doubt. And of course, we can be sure that part of being faithful is our belief. Being faithful is about being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see, as the author of Hebrews puts it. But faithfulness, mark this, faithfulness is much bigger than our belief. Faithfulness is how we live out our belief in Jesus. It is faith expressing itself through love. That's how Paul puts it in the book of Galatians, which we're in. Faithfulness is as much an outer action as it is an inner disposition, which means that you can believe from your head to your toes certain things about God, but still not produce the fruit of faithfulness in your life. And on the flip side, and this actually might be encouraging to some of you, you can still demonstrate the fruit of faithfulness even in times of doubt. When your faith is wavering, we can still be faithful. You can be faithful even in those seasons of life where you're not sure about God or his presence in your life. Because we all have those moments in our life. In fact, I would say that it's in those moments of doubt, those moments of difficulty, when the fruit of faithfulness shines all the more true. When a person's faith wavers, when we doubt or when things get difficult, yet we are still willing to say, "Blessed be your name." That's the fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness shines in those moments where we're unsure. And the point is that faithfulness goes beyond our inner feelings and our beliefs to become an action in the world, an action that reflects God's goodness. Faithfulness is the action of constancy and dependability. It's the action of showing up. A faithful person is someone who always does what they say they will do. They have integrity. Someone who shows up and fulfills their commitments and often goes beyond them. This is the outward action of faithfulness. They are true to what they say they will do. And they are true to the goodness of God. And now, there is something in the parable that I want you to see that comes before any of our faithful actions. It's actually what I'm calling the foundation, the first F of the sermon outline. It's the foundation or the prerequisite to every faithful action we do. It comes before any of them. And it begins like this. The parable starts with this very wealthy person who is going away on a journey. And spoiler alert, it's Jesus. And as he goes away, he entrusts his servants with his own wealth while he's gone on this trip. And he gives 5 bags of gold to one, 2 to another, and 1 bag to the third. Some translations, maybe you're familiar with this story, they don't call it a bag of gold, but they call it a talent. A talent in the first century was literally a weight of precious metal. And so scholars estimate that one talent is worth about 10 years of a working salary. So we're going to do a little math this morning. The average salary in Kelowna is $50,000 a year. So 50K times 10 years is... That was a test, everyone. I know it's 500. Yeah, you know how I know? I have it in my notes. And I used a calculator, but good on you. So yes, it's $500,000. Thank you very much. And so this must be a very rich landowner indeed. And so he gives $500,000 to one, he gives $1,000,000 to another, and a cool 2.5 to the third. And the key in verse 14 is the word that we read. The wealthy owner, we are told, entrusted these things to his servants. Entrusted. You see, we are not owners. We are only ever stewards of what God has given us. And now some of you are maybe thinking, well, I don't recall God giving me $1,000,000. And you know what? You might be right in that, but the truth of the matter is everything that you have is a gift from God. From the shirt on the on your back to the air in your lungs, everything is God's gracious gift. Without him, there would be none of it. And herein, I think, lies the prerequisite to all of our Christian faithfulness. You need to see the very things God has placed in your hands that he wants you to be faithful with before we can ever be faithful. Faithfulness isn't simply believing the right things. We are called to be faithful with the gifts God has given to us. And so think about your life right now, the relationships, the responsibilities, the stuff that you have, the opportunities before you. Aren't all of these gifts from God? Something he is entrusting to you, things he wants you to steward well. Do you have family? Do you have parents? Do you have a spouse? Kids? Do you foster a child? These relationships are God's gift to you, and he's asking you to be faithful. He's entrusted these people to your care, so honor your father and mother. Be faithful to your spouse and attend to your kids. Do you have friends or neighbors or people that you know in need? God has entrusted these people to you. They are a gift. Be faithful with these people. Invest in them. Do you have a job? Whether it's a family to raise or a business to run or burgers to flip, God has entrusted this work to you, even if you don't like your work. He wants you to be faithful, to be his person in these places. Do you see how this works? Do you have money? God has entrusted you with this money. He wants you to be faithful with it and use it for his glory. Do you have time? Time to spend with Jesus, or time to coach a kid's soccer team, or time to visit the sick and lonely? God has entrusted you with the same time he's entrusted with all of us, and he wants us to be faithful with in how we use our time for his kingdom. Do you have a church community? People to pray with and pray for? People to serve and love like Christ served and loved? Children to teach Sunday school to? Youth to mentor? God has entrusted you with a church community, and he wants you to be faithful to help it grow and flourish in the Lord. Do you have gifts and talents, hospitality, or compassion, or gifts of service, or preaching and teaching? How about entrepreneuring? Maybe you have entrepreneurial gifts, or you can draw, or you can evangelize, you can tell people about Jesus, or maybe you have gifts of building things with your hands. God has entrusted you with these gifts, and he wants you to be faithful, to use these gifts for the glory of God, not simply in the church building, but in your home and at school and at work and in our city around the world. The first step toward Christian faithfulness is recognizing all the things God has entrusted to you. And so I wonder, right now, how would you answer the question today in your own mind? What is God asking you to be faithful with at this moment in your life? What is God asking you to be faithful with at this moment in your life? Is it a relationship or your work? Is it your spending, your time? Is it our church or your gifts and talents? Maybe it's a bit of everything. In order to be faithful, we need to see what God has placed in our hands to be faithful with. It's the foundation of faithfulness. And then the parable points us to the fruit of faithfulness. That is, it points us to the simple fact that being faithful with the things God has given us, it grows more of God's goodness in the world. The fruit of faithfulness is that it grows God's goodness in the world. Verse 16 to 18, look at the text. It says, "The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more, but the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." Pretty straightforward. In the parable, 2 of the servants put what they were given to work, and 1 does not. 2 are faithful, and 1 is not. 2 produce fruit, and the other, nothing. When we are faithful with what God has given us, God multiplies the goodness. But when we are unfaithful, nothing happens. The blessings stop with the blessed. The blessed cannot become a blessing to others. Do you see how this works? This was Israel's great downfall as the people of God. Right? They were blessed by God to be a blessing to others, but they were unfaithful with the blessing. And as we look back on history, we would do well to realize that as the church, that we can be in danger of the same failures. That when God blesses us, will we simply say thank you and move on and pray for more blessing? Or will we be faithful with the things that he's given us and use them to amplify the blessing to others? The fruit of faithfulness is a world that is filled up with the goodness of God. That's the work that Jesus came to do. When we pray, "Our Father, would you... Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When we pray for heaven to come to the earth, the kingdom of God to come to the earth, what in fact we're praying for is for God's glory and goodness to fill the earth like it fills the heavens. We're praying for the blessing to be amplified. We're praying that God would grow the fruit in us, the fruit of faithfulness. Which brings me to the third thing in the parable. It's the future of the faithful. What happens to those who follow Jesus and grow the fruit of faithfulness? Well, the text tells us actually that the faithful receive 3 things. First, they receive Jesus' affirmation. Right? The wealthy landowner says, he says to the faithful servants, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I cannot think of anything more satisfying to hear than the voice of God speaking over me at the end of some measure of my own faithfulness, or at the end of the age, perhaps, hearing the voice of God say over me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, some people spend their entire lives longing to hear these kinds of words from the lips of one of their parents. "Well done, my good and faithful child." Not, "Is that the best that you can do?" Or, "Is that all you've got?" But, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Well done, my good and faithful child. To receive the affirmation of God is a tremendous reward. But that's not all that Jesus says. He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." Do you hear the future of the faithful? Those who are faithful with the few things are rewarded not with more money, not with more blessing, not with more stuff, but with more responsibility, more opportunity to amplify the blessing of heaven here on earth to the people around us. Church, when you are faithful with the small things, God entrusts you with more things, not for your glory, but for His. And if you want to grow the fruit of faithfulness, then you can start real simply by making your bed, or kissing your wife, or reading to your children. You can start by arriving to work on time and being diligent in your work. You can start by giving away the $5 you have in your pocket to the person in need. Because being faithful with the small things leads to even greater participation in God's renewal of the world. But there's one last thing Jesus says to the faithful. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." Then he says, "Come and share your master's happiness." Can you think of a greater future than the future of joy? Isn't joy the end goal of any gift or endeavor? Have you ever really committed to something, whether it's, making, this is a bad analogy, but in the springtime, I love to make my lawn look really nice. Nicer, at least it's got to be nicer than my neighbor's lawn. No, come on, that's not the attitude. But you know what I mean. I just like to drive home and see it's a really nice green lawn. There are no dandelions, and it's nicely kind of cut. And I really try and get the little lines, to make it look like what I'm doing. But I've got a lawnmower that's probably worth about $13, so it's really hard. But it takes a lot of time, a lot of my energy, but there is this sense in which when I drive into my neighborhood, there's a joy at my faithfulness to my lawn. Maybe I got to reorder my priorities here. But there is a joy that comes at the end of being faithful. Can you imagine sharing in the joy of the Master? Come share your master's joy. C.S. Lewis gives this illustration. He says, imagine two people at the same concert. And both of these people, they hear the same music, and both of them enjoy the concert immensely. And one of the people is sitting in the crowd, and the other of the people is actually playing the music. The person who has invested in learning their instrument and mastering the music, they've spent countless hours in faithful practice and rehearsals, and it's led them to that very moment. And now, though they both enjoy the concert, which of the two has the greater joy? Well, certainly it's the one who's playing the music. Their joy is much greater. And so will yours be as you are faithful with the things God has blessed you with. Come and share your master's happiness. Church, God wants to grow the fruit of faithfulness in you. He has entrusted you with many good things. Take responsibility for the blessing. No matter how small or how big it is, put it to work for the blessing of other people and share in your master's joy. Let's pray. Jesus, you have been so faithful to us. You are the reason that we sing. You are the reason for our joy. It's your faithfulness. And so, Holy Spirit, we know that you grow good things in us. And maybe for some of us here, there just needs to be a correction. Maybe it's this stingy heart that we've been living with. And we need you, Holy Spirit, as we respond to soften our hearts. and move us toward faithfulness. Or Jesus, maybe there's someone that you want to put their name on our heart or mind, maybe there's a certain area of our life that you're calling us to be faithful in. As we respond, Holy Spirit, grow the fruit of faithfulness in us. Jesus, you love your church. And you also love the city that you've planted us in. And so as you bless us with your Holy Spirit, with your love, with your faithfulness, may we amplify that blessing to the city you love here in Kelowna and the world beyond. We pray in your name. Amen.